Exploring the Word is brought to you by Reclaiming America for Christ and the Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is Pastor Paul Blair. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. Well, today we're going to be finishing a message that we began last time. And of course, the message is one that I preached this year in 2020 on Thanksgiving, actually the Sunday before Thanksgiving. You know, and one of the things that we looked at in our message and the conversation was what the Pilgrim Fathers went through. How because of their great faith, because of the fact that they merely wanted to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth in their own church gatherings, which at the time was illegal. You could not worship outside the official Church of England. Well, because they wanted to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth according to the Word of God, without some of the unscriptural mandates and corruption of the official state church, because of that they became outlaws. Because of that they suffered great persecution. Because of that they ultimately fled to Holland, and then eventually they sailed on the Mayflower to the New World. Well, we have been the recipients of their great courage and the liberty which they purchased for us. However, we may be facing a different era. Are we prepared to suffer affliction on behalf of our faith? Our scripture text in this message came from John 16, verse 33, where Jesus told his disciples, "In this world you will suffer affliction." Well, folks, we in America really haven't. But that might be changing. Are we prepared as members of that faith hall of fame in Hebrews 11? Are we prepared to endure hardships without compromise? I hope that we don't have to face that. But if we do, may we be found faithful.
We welcome you to the radio ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We invite you to join with us for today's Exploring the Word. Here's Pastor Paul Blair.
This, where this picture is taken, looking down at Cape Cod Bay, is where the meeting house would have been. It's now the Central Cemetery there in Old Plymouth. This is looking down in Plymouth Village. They've got a depiction of it built to scale and everything. This is my lovely pilgrim wife and me in pre-cancer with facial hair and 290 pounds looking down towards the sea. This is the common house. Again, they would meet there for all their city meetings, their city government, and their hospital, and also served as their church. This was the upstairs of their church. Just so you know, Dan and I are modeling our next expansion after this design. Only we're planning on doubling the cannon. This is downstairs. Of course, this was their meeting house. It was also where they preached. Notice the elevated pulpit where they would preach the Word of God and address the congregation of Plymouth. It's one of the houses they would have lived in. Entire family lived in there. Inside one of the houses, you can see just a fire in the corner of the room. Some furniture that they had perhaps brought from England. Bedroom, living room, everything in one compact space. And they were grateful. This man played the part of Elder Brewster. He served as their pastor. He was not an ordained minister, but he was an elder of the church in Scrooby. And again, it was his house that they eventually met in. We had to have a picture, me and my wife, with Elder Brewster and his wife. This is looking up the street towards the common house. Okay, back here. Understand, they got blown off course. They were here. Some of the miracles. They tried to set sail south because they were trying to get here. Ladies and gentlemen, if they had left on time and if they had successfully landed here, we wouldn't be celebrating Thanksgiving because this was hostile Indian land. Very, very likely they would have been wiped out right off the bat. They felt like it was God's will because they tried but couldn't sail south, so they settled here. They searched around the Cape for over 30 days, settled on a spot of land. Let me describe that land to you. Had four freshwater springs. Had about 20 acres of land that had already been cleared and previously farmed and cultivated, and it was unoccupied. See, there had been a hostile tribe of Patuxet Indians there that would have wiped them out as well, except about 3 years earlier, they had a plague. I heard it was coronavirus of 1620. It was 1620 version rather than 1920. Wiped them all out.
The other Indians believed that that land must be cursed, so they didn't want it. So you had 20 acres of land that had already been lived on, already been farmed, already been tilled, already been cleared, 4 freshwater springs that nobody owned and nobody wanted. Wow, what a gift. Pilgrims claimed that as theirs. By the way, 55-year peace treaty, longest peace treaty ever in American history, was between our Pilgrim forefathers and the Indians and the surrounding communities. By the way, our forefathers said, hey, there were some dirtbag white guys that came over here from England. There were some guys that was all about money, not this crew. Not one thing did they ever take from the Indians. They purchased everything. The one rule of law applied to everyone, white man and red man, and they quickly won over the Indians' trust. As a matter of fact, one of the chief warriors of Massasoit, who was sent to keep an eye on Squanto, was a guy named Habermock. Habermock became a Christian. Habermock had an Indian village adjacent to Plymouth. They lived together, intermingled, were one in the body of Christ. But we're not taught about that anymore, are we? Understand that this first year, this first winter, as they were holed up in that common house, or just one level of it, out of 102 pilgrims, or 102 that made it on board, 47 died that first winter. Now folks, let me tell you, that's a pandemic. Out of 100 group, they might have 2 die on any given day. 2% of their population dying in a day, that's a pandemic. We have a pandemic with a 99.5% survival rate, and even with the inflated numbers in Oklahoma, they claim that 1,100 people, CDC says that actually of those reported numbers, only 6% only have the coronavirus. So there's other complicating factors. So out of a state of 4 million, we have 1,100 people that have been credited as having died not from COVID, but died with COVID. And we really are talking about shutting the state down? Are you kidding me? Tell you what, we've already discussed it. We're preparing a letter. God willing, we'll be able to meet with the governor and present it to him. We're not closing down again. Amen. We're not closing down again. Now think about it. I really want to chase rabbits here and rant, but you did that during the Sunday school hour, so I will not. I will land this boat. Think about all of this. Think about all they went through. What did they do wrong? Why were their lives so challenging? Having to have a house church and sneak in and out for fear of arrest. Losing all your goods because all you want's religious liberty. Being betrayed once again and losing all your stuff. Being separated from your wives for a year. Having to sail the North Atlantic 66 days in a little bitty cargo ship. By the way, the roof of that tween deck was 5 feet. Imagine 60 feet by 25 feet by 5 feet for 66 days doing this. It was because of their Christian faith, ladies and gentlemen, not in spite of it. They hungered for God's word, and they were willing to die in order to possess this that we ignore. They were genuinely in love with Jesus, and they wanted to worship him and serve him in spirit and in truth, and they suffered because of their faith in Jesus, not in spite of it. But Jesus said, in this world, you shall experience tribulation. In other words, in this world system, Christian, don't be surprised. They are going to afflict you. Folks, I recounted as I started this message, counting our blessings and how blessed we happen to have been living in the time that we happen to have lived. Amen. We think we've been blessed because we haven't had to suffer any hardships. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to know you're not the only one that doesn't like my preaching. I hate my preaching. I'd much rather be a member of Joel Osteen's church. Your best day now. I'm all for it. Sign me up. We think we've been blessed because we haven't had to suffer any hardships, but let me ask you this to consider. Perhaps we haven't been. Think about it. We've enjoyed the blessings that they purchased for us. And think about this. You think William Bradford, when he was a teenage boy, standing watch in Scrooby, England, looking to make sure that the king's troops didn't show up, do you think he had any idea that 400 years later, a group of 400 plus Christians would be gathered together in the middle of this great continent of the United States, enjoying religious liberty and civil liberty because of what he did? They endured all that they did because they wanted to be in church and worship Jesus freely. Amen. Let us all think about that the next time we're thinking, oh, I don't really feel like getting up and going to church. Let me ask you this. And by the way, when I say let me ask you this, I'm the first one I'm asking. If it had been me in Scrooby, England, in 1606, if it had been you in Scrooby, England, in 1606, is our faith so genuine that we would do what they did? We love to read these accounts in the Bible, but understand they are not stories. They are accounts. There was one time in Babylon where only Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood for God and stood for righteousness. Let me ask you this, and I wish I knew the answer. I don't know, but I think we're going to find out. Would I have had the genuine faith to have been the fourth guy that stood with them? Would you? Would my faith be so genuine that I would have been standing with Daniel in the lion's den? Would our faith as members of Fairview been so genuine that we would have been willing to stand with members of the early church in the Roman Colosseum as the lions were being let out to feed on our bodies? Boy, this message sucks. It's not too late. We can go home and turn on Joel. Would we have been willing to be burned at the stake for owning a copy of the Bible? Hebrews 11 says this, by faith, by trusting God, Moses, when he was of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Folks, that's the norm. Boy, I've liked the exception. I've loved the exception. But this is the norm. You looked at Christian history, this is the norm. Choosing to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ as greater riches than all the earthly treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians attempting to do were drowned. By trusting God, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about by 7 days. By trusting God, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she received the spies with peace. What more shall I say? For time would fail if I try to tell you of all, of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samson of the prophets, and through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to the flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others Well, I can just stop right now, take white out for the rest of this. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, not recanting their faith, but knowing that they would obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging. Yea, moreover, bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Folks, that just kills me. He and I talk about it all the time. There's sometimes I don't understand it. You do the same thing. I admit it. There's sometimes I say, God, why don't you let me have the reins for a while? You're not. I disagree with some of your decision making. I don't understand why Isaiah devoted his life over 50 years, faithful ministry, standing for God. How was he rewarded? Manasseh sawed him in half, hanging upside down, beginning with his crotch. Really? They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in poverty and sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. So they wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Folks, understand, as we live in 2,500, 3,000, 4,000 square feet of air-conditioned comfort, refrigerators, automobiles, clothes, dry cleaners, internet. We have so much. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, in other words, their faith was so strong, their testimony was incredible, yet they didn't receive all that God has promised still to come. And amazingly, God, having provided some better thing for us. Now understand, I put this in from the Complete Jewish Bible. The KJV says that they without us should not be made perfect. The Complete Jewish Bible says it like this: but because God had planned something better that would involve us, so that only with us would they be brought to the goal. Here's what I think the part is. It's not all about us. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's about him. It's about his story, which is history. And we are just playing a small part in his story. Hey, Isaiah ran the race faithfully. Enoch ran the race faithfully. David ran the race faithfully. John the Baptist ran the race faithfully. Jeremiah ran the race faithfully. By the way, when you check out how it ended for them from an earthly perspective, it wasn't so pleasant. The 11 apostles ran the race faithfully. The apostle Paul ran the race faithfully. William Bradford, James Robinson ran the race faithfully. Jacob Deshaies, Jonas Clark ran the race faithfully. Guess what? Now the baton's handed off to us. I'm 57 years into my segment of the journey. You're 60 years into the segment of your journey. And let me tell you, we have had the best, easiest, most comfortable time as Christians in Christian history. And I have liked it. And I hope we get to keep it. But it's our turn to run our length of the race in faith, trusting God to also be faithful. Ladies and gentlemen, I said a moment ago, boy, I like the part in Hebrews 11 where the dead are raised and the fire is quenched and the sea parted. But equally faithful are the men and women. By the way, equally faithful was God with those who were sawn asunder and stoned and beheaded. In Leiden, every time they worshiped together, they gave thanks. Before that in Scrooby, even though they were dodging the law, they were always thankful. Though there were many tears shed in getting here. By the way, folks, don't think for a minute you're not going to battle depression. Don't think for a minute. As Christians, you're going to be targeted. Let me tell you what. As pastors, we are going to be number one targets. If you crumble, might influence a few around you, perhaps your family. If we crumble, could influence hundreds or thousands or more. We interact with pastors around the country. You'd be amazed the influence that we have on pastors that pastor congregations 100 times our size. But we look to each other for encouragement. William Bradford, when he was doing one of the explorations after they had landed there in the tip of the Cape Cod, his wife, Dorothy, was so depressed because they had chosen to leave their baby behind. They had like a 2-year-old. Left him in Old England. They were going ahead. She experienced such great depression. Oh, being a Christian is not easy. But folks, understand, I say this all the time, being a Christian is not based upon your emotion. It's not based upon feelings. Christianity is based upon facts. You either trust God and believe or you don't. Boy, trusting God is tough. It's a difficult race to run. We've just gone through it with Hebrews 11. Dorothy probably committed suicide. Some say, oh, she slipped on an icy deck and fell overboard. But while William was doing an exploration with a group of the men, they found her dead off the side of the ship, probably committed suicide. Hey, being a Christian's not easy. A woman of that great of faith, after enduring all that she had endured in Old England and going to Holland and sailing to the New World, 66 days in misery, making it to the New World, was so depressed, was so discouraged, being separated from her child, she couldn't take it any longer. Christianity is not a playground, ladies and gentlemen. It's a battlefield. When they sailed to the New World after 66 days on board, the first thing they did when they hit the shore was get on their knees and give thanks. After enduring that first winter, when half the group had died, amazingly, when it looked like there was no hope, an English-speaking Indian walked in the middle of the camp that happened to like Englishmen and taught them how to farm and how to fish and kept them alive. Bradford called Squanto a special gift from God. Do you not think of God's divine providence? Folks, there is not a chance that that happened by accident. None of this happened by accident. After enduring that first winter, after all the death, after successfully reaping their first harvest, and again, let me make note of how they focused on the Jewishness of the Scriptures. You know what they were celebrating in October? You know what that first Thanksgiving was? The harvest feast. It coincided with the Feast of Tabernacles, the fall harvest of Israel. They partied for 3 days. Watch football. Actually, they had sporting events. Running, shooting, wrestling, all sorts of things. Indians and the Englishmen side by side celebrating this Feast of Tabernacles. Thanking God. In spite of all they had been through, and even the difficulties that they still faced. By the way, it wasn't downhill from there. We don't have time to go into it. But it was literally a battle every day. Folks, I'm going to end with this. 4 points. We'll be done in 3 minutes. Remember this as we leave today. The safest place to be is right in the middle of God's will. Question number one, do you know that you're saved? Bible likens our relationship with Jesus as a marriage. He is the bridegroom, we are the bride. In every situation, Dan's performing a marriage, I'm performing a marriage, I'll ask the groom, do you take this woman whom you hold by the hand to be your lawful and wedded wife? What do you say, sir? Yes. Miss, do you take this man whom you hold by the hand to be your lawful and wedded husband? Their entire future relationship, sanctioned by the authority of Almighty God, depends upon her answer. It's either yes, and they become one, or it's no, and they leave as they came. Jesus hung naked on a cross, suffering our sin, paying for our sin debt 2,000 years ago. Jesus said, I do, 2,000 years ago. Has there been a time where you have said, I do, to Jesus? If you haven't, we're going to have an invitation here shortly. I encourage you, come, walk the aisle. Cry out, receive Christ as your Savior and Lord. Again, it's not an emotion, it's not a feeling, it's the fact coming face to face with a resurrected Jesus, recognizing your lostness and who he is as Lord and Savior, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world and your sins. Cry out to him as Thomas did and say, my Lord and my God. Second thing, are you walking in his known will? You know, we can suffer difficulties for disobedience. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, corrects every son. So why don't we take that off the table? We need to be in our Bibles daily. Let me tell you what, days that I don't have time to start the day reading the Bible are usually the worst days. Start your day in Scripture, get your marching orders, make sure you are getting your direction, following Jesus as Lord. Third, do you walk with him daily in prayer? He speaks to us through the Word of God. We speak to him reverently in prayer. We have the authority to come to the Heavenly Father because Jesus is our high priest. Finished it all. We can, as the writer of Hebrews, I agree with Dan, with Paul, we can with boldness and confidence enter into the throne room of mercy and grace because of Jesus. So let me just say this. If you know that you're saved, if you're walking in his known will, if you're walking with him daily in prayer, then trust him for the outcome. And God is God. Whether that means this election being overturned and we having freedom for 4 years and have an opportunity to restore this thing, or Joe Biden being sworn in as president, the Equality Act passed, if we lose the Senate, things are going to get quite dicey for Christians. Either way, guess who's still on his throne? Guess who's still in charge? God's will, ladies and gentlemen, may lead you into a fiery furnace. It may lead you into a lion's den. It may lead you into 66 days in the tween decks of a cargo ship in the North Atlantic. Or perhaps God's will lead you to stand for Jesus and shine for him in the perilous days of global socialism that precede the rapture of the church. He is faithful. Will we be faithful? Never forget who you are, whose you are, and who God is.
We thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word, and we look forward to being with you next time. Until then, may God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We hope that today's journey in God's Word has been a blessing to you. You can find more sermons and resources at our church's website, www.fairviewbaptistedmond.org, or call 405-348-1745. Join us again each weekday for Exploring the Word from Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond.